Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, I'll read starting at chapter 2 of Deuteronomy, verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land, and begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. All right, now what we said last time, let's kind of look where we left off. What we said is, in this topic of receiving your inheritance, we said that this was not only our right to receive this inheritance, but it's also our responsibility that we are to receive this inheritance. In fact, what we talked about is that there was a group that didn't go in, and they seemed to not believe God, call it unbelief, and they refused to go in and get their inheritance. And so God said, okay, I'm going to leave you in the wilderness. And matter of fact, you're going to die here. And I'm going to wait on your children. And as I get them to grow up, I'm going to take them over. Well, that wasn't God's initial plan for them. His plan for them was to go over into Canaan. Now, what happened was they heard something, and when they heard what the leaders said, they believed it. And once they believed it, they then imagined themselves being overthrown by giants and destroyed, as they wanted to elect another leader and go back to Egypt. Now that was about one of the stupidest suggestions that anybody could have made. All right, here's God, he brought them out of bondage, and now they feel that they want to go back in because they were better off on welfare. Now, we talked about something here, and just understand that when I was talking about these things last week, I was very sincere about it, but I want to let you know that I believe in my heart that the reason why you're here is because God sent you here.
Amen.
Okay? Now, in here, this is a faith ministry. We've come this far by faith. Now, we trust God for everything you see. This building, sound system, cameras, television ministries, all down the hall. Everything was started by faith. Because when we really started initially to do these things, we didn't have the money to do them. I mean, we were believing God that the money would come in, so forth and so on. Because how many of you know just about everything costs money? So we understood faith in here, and we've come this far by faith, and we're going to have to go the rest of the way by faith. All right? So that means that you're not coming in here to try to find a place where you don't have to use any faith. That's not why we're here. So we talked about laying aside every weight, and we added one word to it, dead weight. Because God had signed off on a people, and he had told them, you're not going in. And you're not going in because I have food with you for 40 years. And you have refused to go in. You're murmuring, complaining, want to elect a new leader, don't like the way pastor's talking about money, and all of that. And the reason why is because you're not going anywhere. See, you're not going anywhere. And my job is like Joshua. It's to take you in. To take you in. And so we've got people who God has sent here, and that's my job. So when I come out with challenges of paying off this or whatever have you, don't grumble about it. It's just a giant that we've got to slay. That's all it is. And God wouldn't let us come this far and leave us. That he said, I'm going to go before you. And I'm going to make sure that you always get the victory. But in the meantime, when you're taking that land and in those battles, you learn so much about God. You learn so much about yourself. And I can tell you right now, one of the biggest things God is interested in is a relationship. Sometimes people are trying to live off the relationship that the pastor has with God, but he wants a personal relationship with everybody that's in the sound of my voice. Now, what God is doing is he is saying, okay, I'm going to give you the land. The king is on the land, but I want you to take it back. Because basically, this land that I'm giving you here, this land technically belongs to you. And the reason why it belongs to you is because I gave it to you. And he said, possess it and contend with him in battle. So God is saying, I'm taking you to a place, and by the way, here's part of your inheritance, and part of your inheritance found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, is the blessing. So the blessing is on you, and this blessing is an empowerment for success. So it has all these areas to it. The blessing has more areas than I can really cover. But all these areas to it, it keeps you, it keeps you preserved, it keeps you getting promoted, it keeps you getting prosperous, it keeps all kinds of things that the blessing does. Now what we said is we have to embrace the blessing, that we have to have faith in the blessing so that the blessing will do its job. This job is to take us there. Its job is to give us victory, so forth and so on. Now, as we looked at this, again, when we talk about going over, we've got to realize that there are giants, and we're going to have to fight those giants, and that we're going to win every battle. It doesn't make any difference how much it is. Now, what we don't want is the world try to drop its standard so that we can get in. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. That once you have the blessing on your life, the blessing makes up any shortfall that you may have. In other words, when Joseph went to Egypt, he was a slave in the house of a man named Potiphar. But the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph and that he blessed the house of Potiphar because this blessing was on him. God says over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, he says that he will bless the work of our hands. He wants us to do what he's called us to do. Now I want to make sure you get all of this. So he's making sure that whatever's deficient, whatever you need proficiency in, that the blessing will give you wisdom and will give you, glory to God, it will give you mysteries. It will give you proficiencies in how to do something. He said in Psalm 144 and verse 1, David was talking about how God and the blessing are with him. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now, you're not fighting people, but if you take that warring concept It could be you're fighting for a business deal or a contract. Glory to God. Or your marriage. Come on. Or something else. But as we had the media group in or the Hollywood group in before, I wanted to let them know that you don't need to petition Hollywood to drop their standard so that you can get an Oscar. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Now, I'm saying that to you because God is going to give you whatever it takes for you to come out on top. Now, I'm saying that because you don't need any compromise. You want to be the undisputed champion of the world. Now, undisputed means like in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19, I think it was. And this is when they had, the Bible says, the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and the prophets of the grove, 400 of them, and all of them were eating at Jezebel's table. They're busy trying to cut a deal with City Hall. Now, I'm not going to talk much about that other than the fact that you don't need anybody to give you anything, come on, so that you would owe them something for anything. I'm saying that you are going to be supplied by God. And that you don't have to compromise your morality for this man to stay with you. I'm just talking now. I'm just talking. You don't have to have them to bring down the standards so that you can hopefully get in on the game, because you're coming to break the house. You're coming, and you want them to shoot the best shot that they can. As a matter of fact, over there in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, that's what happened. This is Elijah going up against those prophets. He told the prophets, he said, now build an altar here and call on your God. And let's see whose God is really God. So that's what they did. And they jumped around there all day, all night. Now it's nighttime. And he start kind of needling them. You know, he said, maybe your God is on vacation. See, he wanted to show that God is God. That somehow, I like what Apostle Maldonado said. He said, God is not a man. Now that's found in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man. Now what does he mean by that? He means that, wait a second. God is not a man. You don't try to bring God down to a human level. I said, don't try to bring God down to a human level, because God is not a human. God is the creator of the universe. And he is so high and so powerful until you can't even comprehend his love. His love is so deep until you can't even comprehend it. I mean, he wants to give you more than you can ask for. His power is so great till you can't express it. You can't describe how it is. Now, this is a God that's going to take care of you. And what I said is that what people need to do is evaluate whether or not they want to go. Because if you don't want to go, we're saying that maybe you belong to another church. Now, hear what I'm saying now. I'm not saying that nobody loves you. I'm not saying that we don't love you. I'm just saying that I've got to go somewhere. And I don't want to make it uncomfortable for you that when I talk about a giant we're about to slay, that you give me some ugly look because you think I'm talking too much about this or too little about that or whatever have you. Wait a minute, I'm the pastor. I'm the one God sent here. So when they said, let us go up at once and possess it, the next thing you know, the group was trying now to slay them. They picked up rocks or whatever, going to stone Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua. The only ones that were ready to go. So I'm saying, I don't want a lot of mixture in here. I want some people in here that come in here for serious business. Am I right about it? I mean, this is what we want. You don't be looking at, well, I don't have nothing to wear. No. Don't say that in coming in here. You just want to please God. You're not trying to wear something for a fashion show. That's down at the other church. That's not here. We're slaying giants up in here. Come on. We're getting people who have terminal cancer healed up in here. Come on. We're getting people whose marriages have totally failed back together. That's what we're doing up in here. So, I ask you to evaluate it. Because if it's not the place for you, I understand. And I bid you, Godspeed. Okay? Now I want you to figure that out. Because when I call meetings and say, hey, we got so-and-so coming to speak tomorrow night and so forth, I don't want you to talk about my hair. I don't want you to talk about nothing else. I want you to show up. I want you to be in good spirits because that kind of commitment is going to release another level of power. I won't have to beg you to come to church. I won't have to see you when it rains. I can't make it because my hair might get wet. I don't want all of that. You need to be at the other church. The other church is looking for you. But this church, you are committed, and everybody in here wants to see the power of God. So, well, I just wanted to get that straight because I'm not looking for a lot of people. I'm looking for a lot of God. I want a lot of God to be in here. God healing, God delivering. Come on, God getting you totally out of debt. God, come on, God getting you a new job. God opening up a new business for you. God giving you a creative idea. God, I'm looking for a lot of God. I want God to be all over this place. It doesn't make any difference your background. You might have been in jail. You might have been there. It doesn't make any difference because if you're here and supposed to be here, God knows your background. He called you right here. Say amen to that. And we're not looking back. We're looking forward. We're going in there to get that. All right. Now, so commanding the blessing. Now, what we said is God is not a man. Now, what we said about that is the same thing that Apostle said. That subconsciously or subliminally, people look at God and think God can't do any more than a man can do. And God is so far above a human until you can't express it. And what you have to do is have to meditate upon God's greatness. How great thou art. You have to see what he created. See how he did things. And what we said is God can command things. And we looked over there at 1 Kings and chapter 17 and starting at verse 4. And we saw here where, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded birds to bring you some food. Go on down, that same next verse. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now he's got birds flying all over the place, bringing a man food. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. When disobedience is there, the heavens become brass. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to take care of you. Now, the first thing any natural person would think in that time, in that culture, is just what a woman trying to take care of herself. Normally, the husband takes care of him because he works the field, she works in the house. And when the husband dies, that's why a lot of the widows had to go live with another family, because they had no means of support. And in his natural mind, he could tell God, God, she doesn't have any means of support for herself. How's she going to take care of me? But God said, I've commanded. And this word commanded is a very powerful Hebrew word. And when God commands stuff, everything obeys. Glory to God. Look what he said in Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse 24. He talks about Peter, and he says here, he says, and when they were coming to the Capernaum, they had received tribute. Money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute or taxes? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said this, of strangers. And Jesus said, then are the children free. He said, here's what you do. He said, go on down, come on, move the thing. Notwithstanding, there lest should be offended of them, go thou into the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give to them for me and you. Now, he told Peter to go fishing, and I got a fish that's going to bite your hook. Now he's going to be the first fish that bites. And he's going to have money in his mouth. Look at Luke. And Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. This is when Jesus was preaching by the shoreline. And here's Peter in his... And Jesus asked to use Peter's boat. Then he sat down and taught. And then he said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And look what happened. And Simon answered and said to Master, we've toiled all night. You've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Watch this. And when he had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. And what happened to the net? It broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, I want you to see this, because this is related to the blessing. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22 said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it or toil. Look what he says in the NIV, same verse. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. without painful what?
Toil.
And I'm saying to you that this commanding the blessing is showing up in this particular chapter. God is showing how he can command fish to come into a net. Now I want you to see this, because I'm wanting you to grab it with your heart. God never planned for you to get frustrated. He plans for you. He said in Matthew 5, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. Come on, help me. And my burden is light. He never intended for you to struggle with life. He intended for you to do one thing. Hear what he had to say and do it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Peter, don't try to figure out how I'm going to do this. Just follow my instructions. And the way we said you receive your inheritance is by doing the sayings of Jesus. Now stay with me. Jesus said, launch out and let down your net, didn't he? Once Peter did that, this blessing kicked in. Every fish was commanded, get in that net. That's why it broke. Is this group, y'all catching me? See, every fish. Because it's all under the command of the Father. Everything. Because he never intended for you to struggle. For anything. He intends for you to rest. Now, you do go to work, because Peter did go to work, but he didn't struggle with work.
Amen.
Come on, we got to start getting into this thing, folks. So, that's Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. If thou, it hearken, it come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the what? Voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that all these, now I will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings, come on please, all these blessings shall come on you and what? Overtake you. If you what? Just do what he says.
Amen.
Now where is Jesus? See? No, no, no. He's in you. That's the deal. That's the difference between Christianity and any other religion, or if you can call it that, because Christianity is the only one where the one who's worshiped is inside. He said in John, look at this. Praise God. Woo-wee. I'm trying to get this thing. I got to get somewhere. Look at John and John chapter, Lord have mercy. Let's look at John chapter 14. Can you look at it? You got it? Verse 10. Believe thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father where? In me. So the Father's in Jesus. Am I right about it? All right, look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. And he may abide with you, what? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knows and seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, come on, and shall be where? In you. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me, come on, and I in you. Where is Jesus? He's in me. They said, well, he's at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? Yes, he is. You are at the right hand of the Father too, but you're also right here. So he's in you, giving you instructions as to what to do. Why? Because Satan has set up a trap for you over here. God doesn't want you to go that way. Jesus is saying, no, take a left turn right here and go here, because I got you covered. All you got to do is hearken to my command, and I'm not only going to run your boat over, but I'm going to put you in the top of the fishing business. Man, this stuff is so good. All right, now, look at Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Oh, have mercy. Oh, this is good. Okay, 22 and verse 7. Okay, I'm just going to have to, I can only go so far. All right. Now, man, y'all with me? Yeah. I'm going to read this. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. Is this the right group I'm talking to here? The borrower is a servant to the lender. Now, this is God now. And God is saying the poor are ruled by the rich. Now look what he says in the NIV in that same verse. He says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, why is he saying that? Now I'm covering this because this is going to be the year of increase. Supernaturally. And this is part of the deal, so don't get nervous. You're going to be all right. He said over in Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, starting at verse 10, the Lord shall command the blessing upon, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground in the land which the Lord thy God swear unto thy fathers to what? Not rent you, give you. And the Lord shall open up his good treasure in heaven, give you rain in your land in season, and bless all the work of your hands, and thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now let's look at that same verse right there, that same verse, and look at it in the New NLT, whatever Living Bible translation you have. Put it up there in that. And he said, you will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Now, why am I saying this? Because you got to watch it. Because people tell people that borrowing is a sin. And that's not scripture. Because if it's a sin and you be the lender, then you will be helping folk to sin. So it cannot be a sin. Now, what happens is God never intended for you to be on the borrowing side. He's talking to people that came out of Egypt. He's setting some rules up for people who came out of Egypt because they were all in bondage. That's all they knew was to borrow. But what has happened is that he wants you to be on the other side. He wants you to be the lender. And not the borrower. And that you could lend to people. That is business. Some people have to borrow because of times, of the condition, of what's happening in their lives or whatever have you, but it's not a sin. Now, it could be a sin if God shows up in your room and said, don't borrow nothing. But in general, you're going to be the lender. So if you're going to lend, you and lending and borrowing is a sin, you'll be helping people to borrow. He doesn't want you to borrow because when you borrow, you mortgage your future. There's a future out here that God does not want someone else to own. Say amen. He wants that money is not worth your life. And so he knows that. Now, you got to watch it because people get condemned and now the faith is not there. Now they can't hardly get out. But I'm going to show you because through this lesson today and the lesson next week, we're going to set up a board that you're going to see debts get canceled. There are three ways God cancels debt. I'm going to go through that next time. But you're going to see the different ways. You're going to see debts get canceled. You're going to see people in this congregation because we're going to be putting out a list, not of names by it, but we're going to put the amount and how much was canceled. The amount, how much was canceled. You know why? Because God really likes to cancel debt. He likes to dissolve it. Come on now. He likes to make it dematerialize. So I'm saying to you now that what happened in Luke chapter 16 and verse 8, this is a story of an unjust steward, a person who's supposed to be handling somebody else's wealth, right? But he wasn't doing it. And look what it said in verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So what is he saying? He said, wait a minute. Well, come on down. Show you this. Verse 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, one was a rich man. Fared sumptuously, draped in purple. Purple is the color of royalty. And there was another man on the other side of the gate that was broke, sick, and immobile. This man on the other side of the gate was ended up in Abraham's bosom, meaning that he was a child of God. He was to be saved. The rich man went to hell. Now, that's not saying all rich folk go to hell, but it is saying that the man who knew God was on the wrong side of the gate. You see, it's not supposed to be that the rich lend to you. If they're unsaved, you're supposed to be lending to them. Not only that, in Deuteronomy chapter, glory to God, 15, he even talks about, and if you just bear with me, gentlemen, I'm letting you go right now, just hold on. He says this. This is Deuteronomy 15 and verse 1. And at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's what? Release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact again. In other words, it doesn't apply to unsaved. This applies to the brother. Every 7 years, let them go. Write the debt off. You stay here because I'm going to teach you how to increase supernaturally. Now, what I'm saying is the rich, for the most part, Cindy Jacobs was up there. She said, how many people on Forbes' list are saved? Now they got the money. They're owning the lending companies. Why are we having? Wait a minute. No. Well, I don't want to lend nobody no money. It's in the book. It's in the book. Now, see, I'm going to tell you something. We've been taught some stuff that had not been right. Even me. And I'm rebelling against what's not right. I'm going to tell you to have sin, have debt is not a sin. Now, what God does want as we get you supernaturally released, because God is ready to release you from that debt. Right? I don't care. I know you did something stupid to get in it. You tried to impress people that didn't even like you. And you were in it. But God is so loving that you can't even measure his love. He is saying, I'm going to get you out. And I'm getting you out this year. Now, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Put that up there, please. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says this, but verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at the next verse. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain you can't carry anything out. This man showed up at heaven one time with his bag, and the angel was at the gate and said, what's that? He said, something that I want to bring up here with me. He said, you can't bring anything with you. He said, but I got to bring this way. I work too hard for this. He said, well, what is it? He said, something I work hard for. He said, well, listen, you can't come in here with anything. You got to come in here with nothing. He said, we got everything in here you'd ever need. He said, no, but I work for this. He said, well, what is it? The man opened up his bag and he had some bricks of gold. Angel said, what are you bringing pavement up here for? My point to you is, come on now, you go out of here with nothing. You get what I'm saying? So don't hold on too tight to this stuff. See, he is saying godliness with contentment. In other words, as I do move and God moves and gets you supernaturally out of debt, don't just pop back in and get something bigger. Don't pop back in. Build up your increase so that you can buy it cash, man. Say God plans for you to be plenteous in goods. Look what it says. I think that's Deuteronomy chapter 28. Lord have mercy. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10. Look at that verse right there. He says, verse 9 then, verse 11, verse 9, one of them, praise God. He said, and God shall establish Judah over Peter. Verse 10, verse 11, please. Try that. Hallelujah. He said, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. Put it up there in the Amplified, please. Put it up there in the Amplified. Now, this is God's heart to you. He's talking to you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. Put it up there in the Amplified. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity.
Amen.
Now, do you think God can do that?
Yes.
Yes, he can do that. All you need to do to get rich in God is to just do what he says. Whatever he says, go right, go right. Go left, go left. Do this, do this. Do that, do that. That's all the woman needs to do. She cried to the man of God. This is 2 Kings chapter 4. And the man of God didn't start telling her, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have any house, anything except a little oil. He said, okay, here's what you do. Go borrow some vessels. Don't borrow a few. Then come back in. Bring your children. Shut the door. Start pouring the oil and fill up every container. Now, don't bring a little containers. Bring a whole lot, because you're dealing with a big God and he wants to give you a whole lot.
Amen.
Folks, what did he do? She just followed the instructions, and then when she got all that oil, it miraculously multiplied. She went back to the man of God and said, what do I do now? He said, go sell the oil, watch this, pay your debt, watch it, and live you and your kids on the rest. Folks, she had a surplus of prosperity. I'm telling you, God is not just going to get you out of debt and have you living on barely get along street by, down by Grumble Alley. God is going to give you so much until you're going to have enough to help me pay off this, help me pay off that, help me pay. I'm making you the lender and not the borrower, the head and not the tail, above only. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Give God a shout. Now, the next time we're going to talk about the three ways that God gets you supernaturally out of debt. There ain't nothing natural about God. It's all going to be supernatural. If you know what you're doing and you can really hear the voice of God, you can be out in 7 days. Every debt that you've ever had on the records, your house, your car, everything that you stupidly bought and so forth, God's canceling all of that. You are hooked up with a debt-canceling God. Every school loan, come on, every credit card, every bill, he's paying them off. He's canceling them. He's dematerializing them. He's commanding the blessing to come on them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Watch this. We're going to set up a board and you're going to see how much action you're going to get out of this. See, all I got to do is preach. I got to preach not what I feel. I got to preach what I've been sent to say. And as I go out here and spy out the land, I'm going to come back and tell you there are giants in the land, but we are well able. And that giant of debt that you have, we're going to slay that giant. We pulling that giant down. I said we're pulling him down. Now I'm going to talk about the blessing of contentment, because some people are just not content. They want to bop back in. Hold it just a little bit, because we're going to build you up. And when we build you up, you're going to see you don't have to buy that anymore with debt. You can buy it with cash. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
Folks, you're going to have so much surplus that you're going to be wondering, where can I plant some of this? And I'm going to raise my hand and say, I know where you can plant it. I got a mission trip coming up. You say, Pastor, I got you covered. No problem. No problem. I'll take care of that nectar. Come on now. Folks, God has given us cities. He's given us houses. Shout ownership.
Ownership.
Give God praise. Now, wait a minute. Somebody said, well, he's just trying to fill them people's head with something. Listen, let this be your last trip. Let it be your last, because I'm not your pastor. Your pastor down the street. That's all right. It's all right. I love you. But what I don't want to do is aggravate you. I want you to stay whole, keep your blood pressure down. If you need to be saved, and you want this, and you know you are not saved yet, you know who you are, let me pray for you what they prayed for me that night and brought me in the kingdom, and right away these things start working, and I got totally out of debt. Whoever that is right now, jump up out of your chair, come up here and let me pray for you right now. Whoever that is, come on, don't look at nobody, because the only one that's going to save you is Jesus. Come on, get up out of your chair.